good to be here. I always look forward to coming and see all the faces, some familiar, some not so familiar anymore. But today I want us to think about this. Does God demand, does God ask anything of us? Whenever I pray, I 90% of the time ask for more blessings. I don't know about you, maybe you're different than me, but I pray, I ask for blessings for my family, for myself, for my children. You know, I do the right thing. I don't want to be selfish. So I pray for brothers and sisters. I pray for the church. I pray for people in general, the government. But whenever I pray, you know, I don't really think of, does God demand? Does God ask for anything in return? And we can find these verses in Luke chapter 12. And it's at the end of Jesus' teaching about a watchful, faithful, and wise manager. And if you read, you can decide for yourself what's the answer. Whether God demands anything of us, whether he asks anything of us. But I would say that it's safe to say for us, for adults, they're working, we have a job. We don't mind asking for a better job. We don't mind asking for another job of a higher pay with more recognition. If we have children that are doing well, they're in the honor roll, right? Now, only this year I find out that, you know, there's not honor roll or whatever. Schools now have high honor roll and highest honor roll. I don't know when that got changed. To me, when my kids went through college and they graduated, they're working now, right? So I'm not familiar with high schools having high honor roll and highest honor roll. So I would assume as a parent, if my son or my daughter is on honor roll, I would say, hey, John, hopefully next year you'll be in a higher honor roll. Well, being a normal Asian parent that I am. And let's say if your children have musical talent, you know, won a couple of piano competitions, you want them to go to more prestigious. We want blessings from God, right? We want good things from God. And there's nothing wrong in asking. For you guys who are students, right? I don't think you mind, like, getting better grades with less work. Or you have more freedom from your parents, from your family. Be able to do whatever you want to do. It's good to ask. But then again, is that something that God asks in return? Now, I want us to basically just focus on the servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. From everyone who has been giving much, much will be demanded. The word is demanded, right? And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. If you notice, I skipped part of a verse. I skipped, but the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. That is, if you don't know, the masters will say, okay, your punishment will be lessened. I skip that. Because I don't want us to have an excuse, right? Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know. Maybe the punishment should be very light, or maybe there's no punishment at all. That becomes an excuse. I tell you a story. My son John, he's in December, he moved to New York City. You know, the big time, right? Away from home. So he usually take the subway, and then because he had to go down to the church basketball team, he started taking the bus. So he was taking the bus a few times, no problem. One day he got on the bus, here comes an inspector. All right, Show me your receipts. Now, in New York City, certain buses, when you get on, you don't like dip your Metro card. You had to get a receipt before you get on the bus. John, being John, he says, what receipt? The inspector says, okay, you, follow me, go down. So he had to leave the bus with the inspector, and the inspector wrote him a ticket, $100. Now, he had unlimited Metro card. That is, he paid for a monthly fee that he could get on and off as many times as he wanted. So I got angry. I said, look, that's not right. You know, there's no common sense anymore. He paid for his monthly pass. So what if he didn't get a receipt? He still paid for it. He got a ticket, $100. So I said, John, fight for it. So he made Xerox copy. He wrote letters, sent it on. After 2 months, came back. The judge, there's a judge, says, you have to pay the $100. So he was upset and I was upset. He didn't know, right? So he should have a warning ticket. He shouldn't be able, she shouldn't be required to pay $100. All along, I agreed with him, being a father, right? Then I realized I was wrong because he was wrong. A lot of times you don't know, it's because you don't pay attention. You don't know because you don't care to know. You don't want to know. You don't know because you disregarded what you need to know. I ask you a question. You get on a bus. You sit down. Don't you wonder, hey, how come nobody pays? Everybody just get on the bus and sit down. Nobody dips the card. So what? It's a free bus? Now, that's not the first time he took the bus, right? That's probably the fourth, the fifth, the sixth time he took that bus. Wouldn't it like sound an alarm in your head, say, hey, what's going on? Nobody pays for this bus. Number one point. Number two point, I went by these bus stops. Signs. You must get a receipt before you get on. You must get a receipt before you get on. What happened? You didn't see the sign? Number three. There's always a debate on number three, right? Because I've told him. I told John, I said, be careful. Some of these buses, you have to get a receipt first. You're dead, you're dead. Probably just in one ear, out the other ear. Three things he should have known. $100, he should pay for $200, $300. Then he learned. Okay? A lot of times, right? A lot of times, oh, you know, I don't know, so please, you know, give me a second chance. The servant who knows the master's will. And I often hear this. Oh, how do I know God's will? It's difficult, right? How do you know God's will? You know, God's general will, it's in the Bible, all over the place. Where to worship, where to love, where to please Him, to serve Him, where to evangelize, where to bear fruit. It's all over the place. Don't tell me you don't know God's will. A servant should know the master's will. It's there in the Bible for us. To worship Him, to fear Him, to please Him, to serve Him, to love, to evangelize, to bear fruit. Now, there are those more specific individual ones that we got to figure out. You come to a crossroad. Which path do you take? Those, I agree, right? You got to figure out how to do it. I've been married 36 years. I would say I know Lucy pretty well, and she would tell you that she knows me well. Why? Because we've been 36 years together. I wouldn't say 24/7, but I would say 99% of the time. You know, these days, like now, she's in San Francisco helping her mom with her dad. Her dad's kind of sick. So these days, she takes like 4 or 5 trips a year to California, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So I'm not with her 24/7. But I know her. She knows me. Now, my daughter, Steph, now she's a troublemaker. Ever since she graduated from high school, I always tell my friends, she doesn't come home. She doesn't want to come home. So 4 years a college, 5 years working, 9 years. For 9 years, I've seen staff maybe 2-3 times a year. 3 times if I'm lucky. And every time I meet her these days, I found out something that, oh, my daughter's like that, that I'm not aware of. She lives in California, far away. Then I say, okay, you know, compared to Lucy and Steph, of course, I know Lucy better. She's with me. And my daughter, I don't hear from her. And when you see a person 3 times a year, you really have a hard time knowing the person, even though I've known her all my life, right? So the point is, if you want to know God, you gotta go wherever He is, right? But the point is, God is always in you. If you believe Him, if you accepted Christ, He is in your heart, right? So where do you don't have to call Him on your cell phone, hello, God, you hear me? He's here, right? You don't have to reach out for Him, you don't have to take a bus or go somewhere to find Him. He's with you. You need to be in tune with Him, right? If you're in tune with Him, you know His will. I've been a dog owner 3 years, and it's a difficult, difficult time for me. It's hard to be a dog owner. It's hard to understand a dog. I've learned for 3 years. I've gone through all the mistakes. Tell you a story. 3 weeks ago, my neighbor, Peter, brought along his 2 dogs. They're good friends with my dog, Triggy, I call him Triggy. Triggy always wants to go out and say hi to his friends. So Peter and I were talking, and then Triggy with his 2 friends, there's a pit bull called Henny. So Trigger knows Henny's a tough guy, so he wouldn't mess with Henny, right? But they're just talking, and so here comes Lucy and her friend Kelly. They just finished playing tennis. So they came over, we said hi and this and that, and then Henny, he loves any kind of ball, tennis ball, lacrosse ball, baseball. He just put them in his mouth, and he wants to have them, right? So he started going over to sniff the tennis balls. So I told Kelly, I said, hey, yeah, Henny, he loves any kind of ball. So Kelly says, oh, I got some old tennis ball. So she went to her car and got them out. She threw one to Henny. She said, here, Triggy, to be fair, I'll give one to you. Now, my dog, Trigger, he doesn't care about no ball. He got it. 2 seconds, he spit it out. All right? Whoa, Henny said, here comes, there's a ball on the ground. So he went over to get the ball. Triggy jumped on him. The 2 of them started fighting, grabbing each other, growling, everything. Real fight, right? So I didn't know how to pull him apart, but Peter was an expert, so he got him apart. And Triggy's ear was bitten, bloodied. For us, we think it's fair. Here, Henny, one ball. Triggy, here, one ball. That's fair. For a dog, right? For a dog. Triggy, oh, I don't want to hold a ball. Drop it. When Henny went to get the ball, Triggy said, hey, that's my ball. Don't you touch it. So he went over and fought for the ball. It'll be okay if Kelly just gave one ball to Henny. No problem. Here, Henny, have a tennis ball. Triggy wouldn't care. To understand a dog, right? To understand a dog, you got to see the way the dog sees. For the dog, for Triggy, this is my ball. How come you're getting it? So he's fighting. He knew he was going to lose, but he fought. That's where the trouble is. We don't see it as they see it. To understand God, right? Now, I'm not comparing understanding God and understanding dog, right? But it's the same principle. You have to see it from God's point of view. You asked for something you didn't get. Why? There's no reason why you shouldn't get it, right? But you should see it from God's eyes. So throughout our lives, your experiences, your daily experiences, when doors are open for you, when doors are closed for you, when you don't expect a door to open and it's open, try to understand and absorb as to why God is giving you certain good things and why God makes certain bad things happen to us. The more you absorb as you get older, then you get a feel as to where God wants you to do. That's to know God's will. It's from your own experience. You know, I know some of us are doing SAT. I have done more SAT than you ever had done. I did SAT with my daughter, Steph. I did SAT with my son, Jonathan. I did SAT for 15 years with the after school guys. I've done more SAT than you can imagine, and I'm sick of it. But you know what I learned? Okay, now listen to this. Hopefully I'll help you, right? It's not about, when you practice, it's not about getting the right answer. But when you do them, let's say you have an essay to read, and then there are questions and multiple choice. If you don't read the essay, you just look at the question and the answers, you get a feel. You can get a feel for what are the right possible right answers and what are the definitely wrong answers. When you do SAT, learn to do that. That is, before you read the essay, you look at the question and the answer, see if you can start getting a feel for what definitely are the wrong answer and what possibly are the right answer. That will help you bring your score up. And that's from experience, right? After you do so many SATs, you get the feel. And so with God, and our experience with God is the same way. It's we learn from what's happened to us. Then we learn to know the Master's will and be able to understand what we should do. Knowing is one thing. Doing it is another thing. A lot of times we know things we're supposed to do and we don't do them. Why? In New York Times, about July 4th, there's a blog. Two authors, a professor from Swarthmore and a professor from Yale. One from management, one from psychology. And they did a study of West Point cadets to look at the motivation and what lead them for future success. And they found out that there are two types of motivation, right? They call it internal motivation and instrumental motivation. Internal means like if you're a scientist, you want to do research because you want to find out the facts about the universe. That's internal. But if you are a scientist, you want to do research because you want to write a lot of papers to become famous. That's instrumental. So normally you would expect that, oh, if a person has strong internal motivation and strong instrumental, that is, he wants to get famous and he loves to find out more about science, he'll be successful. Not true. They find out that if you have strong internal motivation, weak instrumental, chances are you do a lot better. That is, if you're a student, right? If you love to study and you don't care about grades, you are more successful than a student who loves to study and wants to get all A's. That is, what's inside us, what motivates us, is more important than the result. That is, you want to serve God? Serve God. Because you love Him? Because you're His children, right? Instead, if you serve God because you want to show people you have leadership skill, it's not good. So in order to do His will, knowing His will, then doing His will, you have to have the right motivation And a lot of times, that's where the problem is. We don't have the motivation. And to find the motivation, sometimes, right? Negative motivation works. Fear of God. Fear of God. Much more will be demanded. Much more will be asked. It could be a good motivating starting point. I worked with an eighth grader this year. Last summer, he was one of my hardest students. I worked math with him. He did it all wrong. I corrected him. He got them all right. 2 days, 3 days. All of a sudden, he's got them all wrong again. You keep going the same procedure, right? So I said, okay, when school starts, I want to look at your homework so that like your teacher doesn't explain your homework, but I can catch where you get it wrong and I can point it out. He says, okay, Grandpa Felix. Of course, I don't get no homework from him. Then before his quizzes and the tests, he would come running to me and say, oh, how do you explain this? So I worked with him a few times. He would do well, he would do poorly. C minus, the first and second marking period. So Christmas, I went over. I told his parents, I said, look, I got to like say something to him. I started saying things. I wasn't yelling, I wanted you to know, right? I was just being stern. I started crying. I said, look, I said, from now on, you got to show me your work. Don't come to me the day before the quiz. So after that, his mom asked, okay, you want to ask Felix Gong Gong? You know what he said? No. All Felix Gong Gong would do would yell at me. I'm not going to see him. I'll study by myself. I didn't see him since January. He's been getting all A's. He was afraid. That's a good motivation, right? It doesn't matter to me how it works. It worked. He's getting all A's. He was getting C minus. Now he's getting all A's. And his final grade was an A. Sometimes we are not afraid of God. We just go on our merry way. Give me more blessing, good things. Sometimes fear is a good thing, to be fearful of God. Because those who have been given much, much will be demanded. Demanded, right? Those who have been entrusted much, much more will be asked. Ever since I was a little boy, I was familiar with the parable of the sower in Mark. A man went out to sow, a farmer went out to sow, and then the seed, some seed fell on the path, right? And the bird came and grabbed them. The word of God fell into some people's heart, and before they know it, Satan came and got them. Took them away. Some fell on rocky places where there's little soil. So the sun comes up and scorched, and the plants withered. Those are people who hear with joy, and when persecution came, they fall away. And those seed that fall among thorns, it's when the pleasure, right, block out the seed. I thought it was a very simple parable because the last was, other seed fell on good soil and sprung up and grew a crop, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100 times. It's very simple. But I ask you, is the seed, is the word of God, it's all good soil. So how come some soil, some good soil, only produce 30? How some good soil produce 60? How some good soil produce 100? Maybe the soil who produced 30, supposed to produce 30? Or maybe the good soil who produced 30 could have produced 60, could have produced 100. Why the difference? The seed, word of God saying, Jesus described it as good soil. It's not bad soil. It's good soil. The 3 years I've been retired, I've done a lot of gardening. I know that to have good flowers, you water them the right way, you fertilize at a good time, you keep the weeds away, you deadhead the flowers, then you get more brilliant flowers, good flowers. But why would a good soil, some good soil, only produce 30? And not 60. Some 60 and not 100. God has given us much. So the question I have for myself, right? What does God demand? Is it a one way? Is God a benevolent Father in heaven who has limitless blessings that he would give it away to us? Or is there something that he demands? Is something that he asks of us? From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So go ahead, ask for more blessings. Ask for spiritual protection. Ask for more gifts. Ask for more service. But remember this verse. Much will be asked, much more will be demanded.